Loam Hedge, Disc 12.
Chapter 41. Bragoon crouched, staring down into the pit of the open grave where Horthy had disappeared. Sarah was fashioning a torch from twigs, grass and moss. Fenner lay flat on the edge of the hole, calling down.
Horthy, if you can hear me, then shout out!
Springall centred the light of a chunk of rock crystal on the torch top. Magnified sun rays produced a wisp of smoke, which grew into a small flame. Sarah wafted it into a fire.
I'm the climber. Let me go first. Spring and Fenner, you stay up here in case we need anything. Fetch the rope, Brag.
Lowering herself over the edge, the ageing squirrel dropped a bit, then landed on something solid.
Stone steps. Look.
A dusty flight of narrow steps ran curving downward into the darkness. Bragoon coiled the rope about his shoulders and followed her carefully.
Slow down, Nate. We don't want to lose you too.
Springald and Fenner watched until the light vanished around the curve down into the gloom. The mouse maid shuddered as she sat down by the broken covering stone.
I don't like this place any more. It looked so peaceful and sunny at first, but now there's something about it that gives me the shivers. No wonder Toobledum wouldn't come here. I hope Horty's all right.
Fenner was studying the big dark headstone, perched sideways at a crazy angle.
Horty's indestructible. You'll see.
Bragoon's head appeared at ground level.
You're right there, miss. Lend a paw, you two.
Sarah was on the step behind him. Between them, they carried the slumped form of Horthy. Heaving and pulling, the four friends managed to lift the young hare onto solid ground, where he curled up as if asleep. Sarah patted his back.
He took a fall and landed on the left side of his head. Poor Horty's got a fat ear, but there's no real harm done.
Fenner soaked some moss and dabbed at the swollen ear.
He's taking his share of knocks on this trip. That's a real thick ear he's got there.
The damp poultice must have worked. Horthy groaned and tried to sit up but fell back, complaining miserably.
Ouch! I am a wig. I say, do you mind awfully not scrubbing a chap's wounded ear with that filthy wet stuff? It stings like jolly blue blazes.
Springall took out a flask of cordial, which she had brought along.
Could you manage a sip of this?
Horthy grabbed it and downed a lot in three big gulps.
Not that it'll do the noble young ear much good, but I've managed to wet my parched lips with it. Ooh, my aching lug.
Fenner supported his head.
Poor Horthy, it must hurt terribly.
The young hare put on a pitiful face.
I must be close to death. I say, Fenner, old scout, you don't happen to have a bite of scoff about you, what?
Bragoon stifled a laugh.
Nothing much wrong with that. Keep an eye on him, you two. We're going back down to take a look around there. Pass me some more wood and grass, Fen. We got to keep the torch alight.
Fenner bundled her cloak under Horty's head. As the squiddle maid began gathering more fuel for the torch, she shared her latest discovery with her companions.
Now I know why Toobledum could hear moaning on windy nights from the burying place. See that big dark stone? It's the one that marked this grave. There's words carved on it. Listen. Sylvaticus, first mother abbot of Loam Hedge Abbey, loved by all creatures, long in seasons and wisdom, gone to her final rest, forever in our thoughts. This is the very grave we've been seeking.
Fenner indicated the beautifully carved motif at the top of the headstone. It was a lily in full bloom, with a graceful stem sprouting curved and fluted leaves. The entire design was pierced right through the stonework. The squiddle maid traced it with her paw.
This is the flower that never dies. I'll wager that the wind sings an eerie song through this carving on windy nights. You can't blame Toobledum for steering clear of here.
Bragoon regarded her with admiration.
You're a bright young'un, Fen. That was well thought out. Take care of Horty now. We'll be back afore you know it.
For the second time, the two old friends descended the stairs. Not one to let an injury slip by unnoticed, Horty made the most of his thick ear as the two abbey maids ministered to him.
Salad? Now that's the very stuff for a swollen ear, what? Any hare'll tell you salad's just the thing, and lots of it. Hold hard there, Springold gal. What's that sloppy mess? Tut, tut, ma'am. You ain't physicking me with that rubbish.
Springold cradled the mixture in a dock leaf.
Don't be such a dibben, haughty Braybuck. It's a mud and moss poultice that will do your ear a power of good. Hold him, Fen.
Horty struggled in the Squiddle Maid's firm grip.
Get off me, you flaming torturesses! I bet you took lessons from Sister Sitiva on how to persecute wounded beasts. Oh, yeah! That dreadful gloop's gone right down me blooming ear. You've done it now. I'll be deaf on one side for the rest of me short young life. Rotters!
Springald tugged the hare's good ear sharply.
Do hold still. What can you expect if you hop about like that? Now, I'll just dress it with some dock leaves.